My name is Darren Hupke, and this is Pixels and Polygons. Welcome to a new episode of Pixels and Polygons. This is the first episode in the new format. I'll explain all that at the start of the episode. So if you skip ahead past these little intro ad news up front, you'll hear all about that. Just wanted to share a couple of things. You can now find all of my books physically and order them directly from me at pixelsandpolygons.net. The link will be in the show notes in the description below. So instead of having to find me at a convention or send me a message as a one-off or back a Kickstarter, now I have physical copies available directly through me, which means you'll be able to get cool things like the stickers and pins and postcards and all the extra stuff I usually produce as well. So check out the website there. You may ask why I have a whole website for just one series of books. Well, that's because I will also have my future books there. So I'm currently working on the Beat 'Em Up Volume 1, talking about the history of the Final Fight series, working away at that. That's getting pretty close to maybe about 70-75% finished, so that will be available to order through there. In addition to that, the Retro Game Zine will be available to order physically through the website as well. So it will be a great source for the physical content that I'm producing. You can go to my Patreon page to be able to buy things digitally, as well as see my original writing and posts there, and check those things out. I have decided to pivot single player to be like a one-off bonus show. Instead of doing that weekly through Patreon, you'll see that pop up in the main feed from time to time as a bonus episode. But for supporting my Patreon and the writing there, I'm doing a postcard of the month reward. So again, you can follow along for free and read just original like writing essays that I do from time to time, or articles and posts and things that I make from time to time, all for free. But if you're looking to just kind of financially support like my book creating, the podcast creating, all of the Pixels and Polygons content, if you financially support that through Patreon, you'll get a monthly postcard, a giant screenshot of a video game, and on the backside will be a full written review with my Pixels and Polygons score for it. It's essentially a very, very short magazine. So think of it as the world's smallest periodical. So it'll be like a one-page magazine delivered to you every month. So the games will all be different and random, just various games and like retro games I've loved over the years, just kind of revisiting them. Realistically, the screenshot will just be like a cool postcard to have that you can kind of pin or post up on your wall. And if it's a game you love, obviously display it and have some fun with it. But on the other side, like I said, we'll have just a fun little review for everyone, and that's just for those folks who are supporting and backing my content there. Otherwise, long rambling ad content out of the way, different ways you can find my stuff, different ways you can support me, all those details are below. For now, we'll get into the new format, the new episode featuring my good friend, longtime friend Thomas, as we talk about some cool video games. So enjoy the episode, and we'll see you next week. Bye. All right. Welcome to a new episode of Pixels and Polygons. This is going to be one of the first episodes where I'm trying out a new format. Instead of having an episode with essentially two guests answering the same question with a break in the middle, we're going to try and kind of let it breathe a little bit and spend some time kind of catching up with the guest before we jump into the icebreaker and then ask the main topic question as we usually do. This may cause the episodes to be just a little shorter, but either way, it's just to kind of help build consistency, and it kind of helps save me some sanity on the back end of not having to edit together two different chunks of conversations into one episode. But that being said, welcome to the new format. The trial victim for this is longtime friend Thomas. Welcome back to the show, Thomas. Hello, how are you doing?
I'm doing well. And just remember, it's not about the length of the content; it's about what you can do with it.
Oh, he's edging into inappropriate, but not quite sealing the deal.
What?
Well, yeah, welcome back to the show then, Thomas. Before we do the icebreaker, I'd like to just kind of catch up a little bit and maybe talk some games separate from our questions. Tell us a little bit, like, let's talk about maybe what we're currently playing. So do you got something you've got cooking right now? Like, what do you got going on?
Well, right now I'm maybe 7-8 hours into Zelda Echoes of Wisdom. I'm enjoying it. I'm not like super blown away by it, but it's an interesting like change of pace on how they're making those games. I don't know. Sometimes the dialogue, Zelda games are never built for their dialogue, but I'm just like, okay, I don't feel like this is necessary, but okay. But all the puzzle solving and stuff, I'm really enjoying.
Yeah, I wanted to ask about that, the echo system, and obviously that helps create maybe like a little more variety to solving the puzzles and everything, but that's been like a strong point of the game so far then?
Yeah, I think the biggest negative I've come across is the user interface. Like, you get a lot of the same or ranked up versions of stuff. I'm like, okay, I get them to hold this and like cycle through, but they didn't think about, you know, if it's the same type of thing, maybe I cycle to something and then go up and down from there to go to the tiered version.
Yeah.
I get what they were doing. Like, your most used stuff or frequently used or is in the front. It's always be first. And your newer stuff, like, that you just got into the back. So it is a quick transfer over, so at least they thought about that. But I'm like, it could be a little bit better. I feel like I'm wasting time, like, going to the stuff I'm not used to using to try to fight something or to solve something differently. And it just feels a little cumbersome at times.
I didn't know that it auto-sorted. That's good to know. Yeah, because I had heard some complaints about how it's literally just a left-to-right scroll, even though you get, like, you know, dozens and dozens of different echoes of things, and yet not, like, stacking. It seems like maybe a simple fix would be, like, that PS3 cross media bar style where, like, yeah, like you said, the tiers could all be like stacked up and down and then left to right, you know, the different items. But the what I've seen of like people playing it and everything, there's some streamers that I've watched who I saw playing it, like, I really like my brains just started clicking, and like, I want to see like a Legend of Zelda tower defense game where, like, pixel junk monster style, it's like, you know, semi real time, but you're out there like planting like Zelda like based like enemies and things like that to help like a path of tower defense stuff. That's like a game I really want to exist, but maybe in the future.
We'll get with the Koei Tecmo people. I know they're used to doing the Warrior games or whatever. Maybe they could get on that one too.
Yeah. The Omega Force team, yeah.
Or the Omega Force, that's it.
Yeah. But you're enjoying it otherwise? For the most part, you'll see it through, you think?
Then I'm going to see it through. I did that thing I always do, though, where after I think I left like the tutorial first area, I'm like, okay, well, I'm going to go explore. And I went to this like swamp area, and the echoes that I got there cost more energy than my try has. I was like, oh, okay, I definitely wasn't supposed to be here. Let me get back to the real game then.
Yeah, that was the other thing I heard about it, was that it is pretty open. Like, it isn't quite as like gated in, like, that you do have like primary places to go as that will help you kind of expand the world, you know, further. But like, you don't have to get Zora's boots to swim, or you don't have to get like, you know, certain things to like help progress. It's just you kind of have a lot of abilities to kind of explore pretty wildly, like right out of the gate, which is kind of cool, but also it could do exactly that, because I would probably do that exact same thing. Like, how can I like sequence break or try and like find something that might give me like an odd leg up in like the next dungeon or whatever it may be. But I guess that's how they limit it, was it with that the amount of energy it takes to summon out the echoes and everything. So that makes sense. That's, I guess, good balance.
Yeah, it's balance without limiting you that much.
Yeah, I've been trying to finish up Persona 3 Reload. I want to get that new game from that same team, that Metaphor.
Metaphor Refantasio.
Yeah, like that game looks rad. I mean, outside of some of that fantasy bullshit stuff, I think I can push through that and find like the real joy in that game. But I definitely don't want to like pause Persona 3 again. I did that when that Final Fantasy VII Rebirth came out earlier this year. So now that I've come back to it and gotten in a full, like in a good groove, they have like a percentage. I don't know how accurate it is on like the PS5, like dashboard. It says like, I'm like 60% complete of the game. But I don't know how they like measure that necessarily. But I've got like 60 hours into it or so, or maybe a little bit less than that. But I'm in like mid October in the game, which has been kind of weird because some of my play sessions, like in between days, like I'll like, you know, play a bunch and then maybe it's not another week until I turn it back on again. But I keep catching up to the real calendar dates, like it in it. Like it was September 11th and I remember playing in the in-game world. I got to September 11th. Yeah, that's exactly why. But yeah, that game's been super fun. Like I really like just like the style and pacing of those games, and I like the kind of changes made to it. And I was worried I wouldn't like the single centralized like dungeon like within Tartarus and everything coming from like Persona 5. But yeah, I think that even though it doesn't have maybe as wide of a scope as that, it still feels just as like engaging with its specific mechanics for the game and everything. So I just know that once I'm done with that Metaphor will be the next purchase for sure, I think.
Yeah, I can't imagine like stopping a Persona game and then coming back to it and being like, wait, what was I doing again? Like, am I trying to build a relationship with this person? What was I doing with my off time? What is, crap. And just probably wasting a couple days figuring out what you were even planning.
Yeah, well, that was the other thing I did too, was I tried to, like, before playing it when it first came out, I figured, like, kind of like using like a guide and ensuring like I was min maxing like the best way. Like, I didn't want to miss anything important. I wanted to make sure I, like, you know, like got to the next levels as best as I could with all my social links and everything. So like that was actually kind of slowing me down on how much I was playing, because I was, you know, I would be like pausing or like side reading, you know, while also attempting to play and everything. Once I picked it back up, I was like, you know what? Like, it's not going to be, there's not a version of this game that's like so unfun and terrible and broken because I didn't quite, you know, do it exactly to like maximize this out. Like, you know, if anything, like, it'll help save me some time, because if I just remove this like marriage of having to be like specifically like the best choice or the ideal like outcome or whatever it may be, and just kind of like let like roll with it, like it's still going to be the same central plot and everything. So coming back to it, I've engaged with it that way, and it's felt really good. And that's actually got me like set up mentally. Again, I'm thinking about how I'm going to do the same thing for Metaphor. Like, I'm not going to like worry about what a guide says or like, oh, if you go through this train and unlock this and maximize this person, you'll get this really cool ability. Like, if I get it, I get it. I just kind of want to let my actions and decisions just kind of organically happen. And if I'm not the coolest or the best or have found the like best secret thing, you know, at the, like a, you know, the point of beating the game, like I'm going to be okay with that. And I've kind of trial by, like, I give myself a trial of that right now, and I'm still alive and my house is not burned down, and the world is still turning. So it's been kind of an interesting way to kind of approach these types of games than the way I used to try and be like the completionist of them all.
Yeah, if you're going the completion route, it's kind of like you're playing someone else's playthrough too, which is like, I don't know, like, going about it now, you're it's your story, it's not anyone else's like version of it.
Yeah, I think that's what's kind of helped me, like that's kind of the justification in my head, was like, I'm essentially, if I'm reading somebody else's like, oh, do this, like this is the best calendar guide to maximize everybody at the fastest, like doing that's like, I'm not making any choice at that point. Like, the all the options were, I can choose to spend time with this person or go grind and level up here, or, you know, go like max, or, you know, level up my personal stats or whatever it may be. Like, I don't have any choice in that matter. If I'm just following this guide along, like, might as well just like make those choices actually. And from the most things that, from the most of the gameplay I've seen so far now, like there's enough time that, you know, you can kind of do them in between days and out of order, and you're still going to like maximize things and hit the peaks of a lot of these things. So gameplay wise, yeah, it's just, it's helping me have a faster pace for the game, but still enjoy it just the same. So yeah, it's been just different to engage with it that way. Did you play the demo for Metaphor already, or did you already buy the game, I guess, since it just came out?
I have two versions of the game. One is being played right now on the PlayStation, and I have a PC version. So I ended up having to buy two. I really wanted the collector's edition one, but the PlayStation version was sold out. However, Amazon had a PC version, a physical copy. Oh, obviously, I just have a Steam key for it, but she gets to have all the cool little stuff that came with that. And then she got to play the game, you know, day one, didn't have to worry about it. And I was like, well, I'm going to be playing Zelda anyway. I don't want to really stop that before I start playing this game. So I have two copies, and that's the next game. I don't know if I'm going to have time to, because after that, it's Mario and Luigi Brothership, and that's on the radar. And I'm like, there's not enough time to beat Metaphor Refantasio in that. Like, that game's going to take so long.
Yeah.
It's 80, 120 hours, probably. These games just take so long to beat.
Yeah, that Metaphor is definitely my next game, for sure. The Mario and Luigi Brothership is definitely one I would like to play in Ideal World, but I know I'm probably not going to play that. But I loved Superstar Saga and, like, the older ones. But the other games I had been looking forward to, there was like the re-release of like the Suikoden 1 and 2 from Konami. That got delayed into next year. And there was something else. And I was like, it got delayed. And so, or not delayed, but it was just the Monster Hunter. Like when it was announced, I was like, but that's also not going to be out till next year. So in my head, I'm thinking like, well, you know what? If Metaphor is the next game and it takes 100 hours, like, or more, like, I think I'm okay with that. I don't know that I have anything else further beyond. Like, there are some nice to do and some little things. I mean, I might squeeze in some Balatro and whatnot in between. There's a little games like that that I can squeeze time in. And Marvel Snap, I still play daily. But, Metaphor is going to be my next.
If you have a decent chunk of time, and I'd probably catch it on sale at this point. I did really enjoy Star Wars Outlaws. Outlaw or whatever. That was just a fun experience.
Yeah, I've heard good things about that one as well too. And I also liked some of the complaints I read that just avoid spoilers from it and all that stuff from like a gameplay standpoint. I was like, that actually sounds interesting to me. No, I would like the idea if they're leaning in this direction for this. So no, maybe I do give that a shot.
Yeah. You kind of play it your own way. I mean, there were a few things where, you know, you gotta stealth, you're an outlaw. So there were some quests I think they changed. They're no longer like you get seen, game over. But you can go in guns blazing to a lot of stuff too. Like, yeah, I thought it was cool. You could go either or, just however you wanted to explore the galaxy.
That's cool. Cool. Well, that's what we're currently playing. That's what we're looking forward to. I guess we're going to both be playing the same game next. So we'll see when we get started on that. Let's jump into the icebreaker here and get into the main topic at hand. Let's see. What main character, or like, I'll change this. What important character to a game story have you ever disliked the most?
Disliked the most as an important character. That's,
I mean, obviously,
damn, I'm trying to remember Sora. The annoying characters.
Sora from the Kingdom Hearts games clearly is number one, but beyond that.
I mean, I wasn't that big of a fan of Waka, but let me think. I'm trying to remember. There were certain games where, like, you have people in your sphere of influence or important characters who kind of, like, dick with you the entire time. Usually your nemesis. So, like, Cypher Alamassi River was kind of annoying. He's kind of a douche. I didn't like him. I'm thinking just Final Fantasy games now. I guess those stories are the only ones imprinted in my head.
I mean, you could also pick Coltrane, you know, from Gears of War.
Coltrane. Dom? No.
Yeah, Dom, I was okay with dying. Spoiler. Spoiler for Gears of War 2 or 3.
Navi being like, hey, listen. Yeah. Listen. Like, I don't know if I have a worse. No one's just sticking out like a sore thumb, so I'll just go back to Waka since he came up first.
Okay. And is it just because he's his positive can-do attitude? I mean, his...
No, it was all just his, the Machina, the Machina. I'm like, all right, guy, chill. Chill on your weird religion. Mm. It's fine.
Gotcha.
It's not going to bring sin down upon us. But then it kind of does and doesn't. I don't know.
I liked his character, but I think it's because I liked his weapon, like using this sphere ball. What was that called? Sphere ball? What was that game called?
Blitzball?
Blitzball, yeah, yeah. He used a blitzball as his weapon, right? That's what he threw at enemies and everything. Yeah.
Was he in my rotation? I definitely kept Yuna in there. I was like Yuna, Tidus, and...
I was a big Lulu fan. Big Lulu fan with that belt dress and everything, being that black mage was always cool.
Big Lulu fan. The big old... Oh, no.
Okay. Regret. Instant regret.
I think Riku Orin obviously was in rotation. I don't think I remember using Waka that much. Or, I mean, Mari was fine. I'm forgetting someone. There's someone else that you can get. I don't. Wasn't there? Or is that it?
Yeah, Riku, Lulu, Kamari, Yuna,
Riku, Lulu,
Tidus, Waka.
That's it.
It's kind of Auron. Auron. One armed samurai.
He's pretty good.
Yeah, I like that cast of the game. I like that game. The game was just, it was a fun game. All right. Well, then let's get into the main episode. This one's cool. This question's I enjoy just because I guess it's more personal. We get to hear a little bit more of a story and less explanation, much more of just, your personal memories of something. But what is your, tell us your console story. Like this doesn't have to be your favorite, but tell me your console story, like about when you got it, the games you had, the memories or special moments from that, some of favorite standout things. But what's that console you are picking to tell us of the console story?
Yeah, I'm picking the Switch only because it was, like, for the most part, I would always just get the console day one. It'd be all pre-ordered and stuff, or like, I wouldn't have any choice in the matter as a kid, and then we just build on it from there. But this, I was excited for the Switch. I was like, oh, this looks awesome. I really want this. And then I didn't pay attention to any news whatsoever about it. And then suddenly it was coming out in like 2 weeks. I'm like, oh crap, I didn't pre-order this. Can I still pre-order it? No, I couldn't. Oh man, Zelda, can I pre-order this? The collector's edition. No, you can't. Why could you? 2 weeks away. Are you stupid? And yes, I was. So, I was resigned to the fact of, okay, well, I'm not going to get it. And I was like, well, I got the day off anyway. I'll check out Target, Walmart, things like that. I mean, Walmart, they were 24 hours. They didn't have that shit. But they either had them pre-ordered, they were selling them out the back door, tripled the cost, or what have you. I don't know. I got to Target when it opened. There was like 7 people in line. I'm like, crap. They're either pre-order people or they're buying on the extra ones. I think they were pre-order people because most of them, from what I recall, they were just getting the console. They didn't buy any games. I'm like, I think that I remember the teller just being like, you want any games? No, I'm good. I'm like, this son of a bitch. You didn't put that shit up for triple the cost. Then I can't get mine. So yeah, I got to line. Sure enough, they didn't have a console, but because no one was buying a game, I was able to secure Zelda that day. And I'm like, yes, I've got it. And then I was kind of super bummed because, I got this collector's edition game and I don't have the console to play it on. So I'm like, all right, let me look. I'm like looking for cost. I'm like, I'm not paying triple the cost of the people who just bought it for regular price in front of me. Like, I'm not doing that. And then this Reddit like thing is just up. I'm like, oh, what's this Reddit article saying they found? Oh, wow, this store apparently has some. Oh, interesting. Not a specific one, but a chain. I'm like, I didn't think they even sold. So this specific store, it's the old gods. I went and prayed to the old gods. They opened at 10, and the giraffe provided. Toys R Us had like 10 consoles.
Oh, wow.
And there's only like 4 people outside. They like, no one thought about them, or I mean... They closed down. They weren't popular. No one thought about them.
Yeah. Well, I mean, like, 90s Toys R Us, it was a big destination place to get video games from. But yeah, like it evolved into like a much different type of store before its, you know, bankruptcy or closure or whatever, you know. So yeah, that's interesting. People just slept on Toys R Us.
Yeah, and apparently most people who were idiots like me and the couple other people in that line who didn't pre-order, they were just like, oh wow, they have some. Oh, awesome. Everyone left happy. I did get such a good feeling from going there and getting that. I think about most of my Amiibo collection there as well. And then I had to tell myself to stop buying the Amiibos because, you know, they weren't all that useful and I had way too many. Like, I spent way too much money on Amiibos.
You had to tell yourself to stop after you had 52 of them. Yeah, you definitely caught yourself before it got out of hand, for sure.
I mean, I think 14 of them are just the Animal Crossing ones. Those aren't technically mine, although I did buy, I think, 80% of those as a gift. I bought the Animal Crossing cards, too. I bought so much Amiibo stuff. Oh, such a waste.
Well, they look cool. I mean, you know, nice little displays and stuff like that. They're cool little figures. Or, you know,
I was able to pull them out for Zelda Echoes, and I've gotten some parts for drinks. I don't know. I still haven't even made a shake yet. I don't know. But yeah, I got everything I wanted that day and got home, played the shit out of Breath of the Wild. That game was so good.
Yeah, that's interesting. I didn't realize that you nearly missed out on everything. I just assumed that it was a locked in pre-order type of thing for you. What year was that launched? I mean, it's been like
2017 or something, 2018.
Yeah, it's been a little bit. Yeah, that was PS4.
I remember it was cold outside. Was it cold outside? I don't know. Maybe I just had this feeling. Maybe I felt cold because I was getting left out in the cold on getting a console.
Yeah. So what was the big draw then? I mean, like, was it just the nostalgia and love and appreciation of Nintendo? Like, I mean, obviously you hear about the Switch and you're just like, yeah, I'll get that. I'm going to have that. You know, like,
I was a fan of the Wii U. I just liked that console. So in my mind, I didn't like when I heard the Switch was announced and it was like, oh, it can be docked in on the TV and it's like fully portable. I didn't read anything into that. I just assumed, I'm like, oh, cool. Yeah, you just dock it and then you have like, I don't know. I thought they were just like casting. So like kind of still the Wii U where you had the vision or the screen in your hand and you could put it on the TV. And then you could fully take it with you, but that wasn't the case. So when I actually got it home and started playing, I was like, this isn't how I thought it. Like, they really missed out here. But I mean, obviously failed console Wii U or whatever. They knew what they were doing. But yeah, the actual console itself really, really drew me in. And then, of course, I love Zelda games. So that's obviously going to be a big pull. I think I eventually got 1-2 Switch, or maybe I bought that as well, but that one wasn't really a... It played into the Joy-Con stuff, which I didn't really know too much about, but they talked about, like, oh, you could feel, like, the marbles rolling inside the controller. I'm like, no, you cannot. You cannot feel it that sensitive. Like, it kind of does a few vibrations where you can feel it going across your hand, but not like you can legit feel something that well.
Yeah, well, I mean, the haptics are pretty good on those Joy-Cons, but yeah, it you know, that was, you did have that. There was a point in time we were back living out here again. But you and Austin and Casey, my brother, all were at my house for something. Maybe it was one of my kids' birthdays or something.
Hoedown.
Yeah. But the three of you were all playing on your Switch Breath of the Wild. We played some like 1-2 Switch cause you had brought that over and everything. Or somebody brought it. I did not have a Switch or anything, but you guys were all playing Breath of the Wild and I was like, oh, well, I'll play this other open world adventure game where you craft and gather resources, you know, explore your NPCs as you progress this overarching story and, you know, use a lot of like bow and gimmicks and gadgets and, you know, played a ton of Horizon Zero Dawn at the time. That was clearly overshadowed by the launch of that in Breath of the Wild.
It's funny that in Breath of the Wild and in Horizon, there's like Machine Beast 2. Yeah. I was like, man, there's just so many similarities here. This is insane.
Yeah, it was a good, it was a funny overlap, but we were all just, you know, independently like playing, but all just sitting around and doing that. But that was like, that was huge. That's when like, I mean, I don't think I would have, I guess, what did I really feel about that? Because I did not own a Wii U during like the peak time of it. I picked one up a little bit later and like was really like the idea of Mario Maker, like it made me really want to get a Wii U and be excited for it. But I just didn't really put much time into it or like, you know, get too hooked into it per se. But yeah, when the Switch came out, like I didn't intend to get one. Like, I mean, I guess you just assume it would be successful because it was Nintendo, or you assumed it was going to be, you know, successful enough for Nintendo. But it clearly just, you know, it did not take much time for it to like blow up and become like the thing to have and brought like so many people back into gaming. And then to just the right time, you know, for a global pandemic to happen for things like Animal Crossing and folks having a Switch, like, yeah, it's crazy.
And Nintendo consoles are weird because it does seem like they have like a stellar hit and then either something that's fine. Like they went from like the 64, I think, did all that well. It might have done pretty well, but the GameCube wasn't all that. At least I remember it not being as crazy of a success or anything like that. The Wii, crazy. Wii U, maybe it could have been the branding. Maybe people didn't think it was a new console. I don't know, but it didn't do all that well in my mind. And then Switch, now we'll see what Switch do, but yeah, they're pretty consistent on their games, but their consoles, I don't know if they really always capture the market since the NES, SNES duo. Like, I remember those being just stellar, and then competition maybe got better? I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, it was all environment. It was exactly that. Like, I mean, all of those factors all can line up in different ways, and when they all work against them or all work for them, you kind of see the differences. But Switch 2 then. So have you learned your lesson then? Will you pre-order a Switch 2 when that's announced, probably within the next few months to less than a year, I would assume, safely?
I was just sitting here thinking, I was like, crap, have pre-orders already been announced for them? I have not.
No, I have not
learned any lessons. I don't have any sort of notification to tell me when pre-orders are permitted.
Okay, so when I hear that happens, I will be sure to send you the first text to make sure that you don't miss out on that. But it has not even been officially announced or anything, so you're not in any jeopardy of danger at this moment.
Okay.
Yeah.
You know, I just remembered back to that time you were talking about, and yeah, we were all playing on Switch, and then I think, I don't know whose idea was it. We were trying to figure out a four-player game since we all had the Joy-Cons, and I bought Bomberman on the Switch. And that was not as fun as I remember those games being. We were like, yeah, okay, well, that was $50 well spent. Cool.
That was Bomberman. Yeah, we spent hours as youths playing Bomberman 64, and that was a really fun game.
Because of that, like, RPG story mode, that was cool. Like, yeah. I don't know.
It had single player value, but I loved the even like being able to kind of customize the look of your character a bit and stuff, and it was a fun game. Yeah, that Switch Bomberman was not the party gather around and let's enjoy it that we wanted it to be in that moment. But yeah, at this point now you can find, you know, a bajillion games for the Switch to do that with a group of friends.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, cool. Well, thanks for sharing your console story. I thought for sure it was going to be an older platform or an older hardware or something like that.
I thought about it. I mean, I've got a good Dreamcast story, but yeah, that could be another day.
Yeah. And then you also had, I talked about it with Austin, but the GameCube story about the work that you had to put in to actually save up the money and how you worked in cantaloupe fields under the table.
Did he say the name? I haven't listened to that one yet. I know the name by heart. I'm sure he does too.
No. We were just chatting about just funny. He did not share the GameCube for his story. But
okay. Yeah. I was like, I don't know how many years. I don't know if we'd get in legal trouble if that's a.
Hey, you just did a job under the table for cash, out in the field. At a significantly young age, that would not clearly be passed in legal by any stretch of the imagination. But you did it for the GameCube.
Yeah, I don't even think I hit the teen yet. I don't think I was a teen yet.
No.
I think I was like a 12 or 11 year old picking those cantaloupes. Well, yeah. Making the boxes. Having those fingers bleed. I bled for that game to you.
All right. Well, then we'll hear that story next time then for sure. Okay. Thanks for joining, Thomas. And we'll definitely have you on in the future. And thanks for participating in this new format. So let's see how this goes. I think it's fun chatting about games up at the front before we get into the main topics. So, yeah, it was fun.
Awesome. Thank you.